And so you have your Bibles. Let's be encouraged by the Word of God. And let's go to the book of James, James chapter 5. And tonight's message entitled, Be Faithful, Farmer Faithful. Amen. Be faithful, farmer faithful, faithful as a farmer. Amen. So let's go to James chapter 5, of course. We read about the husbandman. And so what an encouragement it is to us. And that God himself would use a farmer as a picture of a faithful laborer. And a certain lot of application for us tonight. But let's go to verse 7, James chapter 5. And in verse 7, the Word of God says, Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing to be in thy house tonight. Thank you for thy precious word. Thank you even for the rain even tonight, Lord. And I think even now with this verse, thinking of the husbandman, the farmer, how oftentimes me as a city dweller, Lord, you know my heart, I tend not to like rain, but I put myself in the shoes of a farmer, how Lord, they desire that rain. They look at things differently than how I do. And so, Father, help us to behold the husbandman. Help us to be so thankful for your faithfulness and your mercy and grace. Father, help us. We have all the reason to serve like a husbandman because you are faithful in providing. And so, Father, help us not to be weary in well-doing. Help us to always look to you in faith. Holy Spirit of God, just bless the service tonight, Lord, and give free rein that we can we'll be sensitive to your leading, Lord, and that we will make decisions for you. We will purpose in our heart, Lord, to serve you like a husbandman. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Of course, God wants us to be faithful. We know that. That's kind of a given. But I do appreciate the example here in the scriptures that God highlights the husbandman, meaning the farmer, to keep trusting him as the example of trusting God, keep serving the Lord, even if it seems like it's been a long time. Maybe it seems that we're in the middle of some kind of a drought season or some kind of slow season, and we haven't seen any fruit yet. My friends, don't be discouraged. The harvest is coming. And so I'd like to just share, before I get into the message here, a wonderful salvation testimony, actually, that came as a direct result of another Christian's faithful laborers, the picture of a farmer here. And so I'd like to just share this testimony. I kind of written it down so I can say it properly. But let me just back up here, back to 1994. So zoom back with me back to 1994. A man named Rich Zawadzki was given a This Is Your Life chick track. Oh, I wanted to grab one so I can kind of show it here, but I think most of you know that track, the black and white track, the chick track, the booklet with the red font, This Is Your Life. So he got one of these tracks back in 1994 while he was at work. It was given to him by a co-worker of his named Bob Barnes. And so they never worked together before that day, but they were happened to be assigned together for work to ride to a job site, and so that's how they kind of connected. And otherwise, they would typically work in different areas of the company. They probably would never have met, but of course, it was a divine appointment. And so Bob, he told Rich about hell. He didn't say much. Bob wasn't a big talker, but he was sincere about what he said. He warned Rich about the heavy metal bands that Rich enjoyed listening to back in that day, and that they portrayed hell as some kind of a party place, that Satan was the main guy, the main hit, honcho. But in reality, hell is a place of course, eternal pain and suffering. You don't want to go there. And then although Rich never saw Bob at work after that, this one encounter and the track that he got from Bob were the seeds that led to Rich getting saved. In fact, February of the next year, so February 1995, he got saved. Now, jump forward with me 30 years later, which is this year, 2025, Rich, now he's saved, of course, was traveling, got to visit the Baptist church that was stamped at the back of that track. I think he kept it this whole time. He received all those years ago. So he happened to make the trip. It was a Wednesday service. He spoke to the pastor ahead of time, asked if he could share his testimony. Pastor said, well, of course, we'd love to hear from you. And so during the testimony time, Rich shared how someone from that church 30 years ago witnessed to him at work and gave him this track that led to his salvation. He just wanted to thank the church for their faithfulness. After service, a lady comes up to Rich, told him that she actually knows Bob and his wife, In fact, Bob and his wife are one of her best friends. And so she gave Rich Bob's number, told him that Bob actually lives only 10, 15 minutes away. So Rich calls Bob up and says, "Bob, 30 years ago, you witnessed to me and gave me a tract. I got saved the very next year. I never had the chance to thank you. Can I come over and say thank you?" And so Bob was overjoyed to hear it. The two met up. You know, it was a blessed reunion, of course, reunion of two ex-co-workers. But truly, it was a first-time meetup of two brothers in Christ. And that was a wonderful thing. And so, by the way, how do I know so much about Rich's testimony? Well, I had the joy of hearing it during my weekly pastor's prayer call. We do that every Tuesday morning when Pastor Rich Zawatsky was the guest speaker. You see, Bob witnessed to Pastor Rich back in 1994. Rich got saved in 1995. He surrendered to preach in 1996. He graduated Bible college in 2001, has been serving God in the ministry ever since. Today, Pastor Rich is the pastor of Loomis Park Baptist Church in Jackson, Michigan. He's been there since 2009. I think that's like the third church he's taken. Praise God. The blessing to me and the reminder from Pastor Rich as he kind of shared his testimony was that Bob was not a pastor. He wasn't a trained minister. I don't know if he went to Bible college. I assume not. But he was just a faithful Christian who was concerned about someone's soul. And just a few, however long he spent, you know, together in the company vehicle that drove to the job site, that encounter changed the life of Rich, again, by God's grace. I get it. But God wants us to labor in faith, in obedience. And so it changed the life of Rich Zawatsky, his family. And then it touched the lives of, I don't know, the hundreds, maybe thousands that Pastor Rich has been ministering to ever since he got saved and serving the Lord. For 30 years, Bob never knew the impact of his witness to Rich until he found out. But even if he did not find out this side of glory, he would have at the judgment seat of Christ. So we know that. So praise God. And so Pastor, may Pastor Rich's testimony remind us that while we may never know the impact of the seeds that we sow in this lifetime, they can make an impact in ways that are exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Amen. Because we serve a great God. And the power is in the Word of God, not us, not our eloquence, but the Scriptures. And so God used Bob's faithfulness to save Rich, who in fact, when he witnessed to him and passed him the tract, I think, to be honest, Bob never really thought much about it after that. But it was life-changing for Rich. And then Rich, of course, in turn, he gets saved, and he's been sowing seeds of his own for years now. So yes, even though many seeds that we might sow might fall on the wayside, stony ground, you know, and by the thorns, and most do not fall in the fertile soil, any seed that does fall in the fertile soil produces, in and of itself, many times the seed over. That's amazing. We only need one seed to land. Of course, we want everyone to be saved, but what I'm saying is even one soul saved, don't ever discount the value of just that one soul. We think even in our own lives. Praise God for whoever led us to Christ and how that we've been able to serve the Lord ourselves our whole life because we're saved. And so think of the multitude of seeds that are sown because the seed that was sown in our heart landed. Amen? That it took. And so Bob didn't know that morning when he would go to work that he would plant the seeds that would change Rich's life and the life of everyone else that would come in contact with Rich at that point on. Maybe Bob, I don't know, maybe he hated his job. I don't know, maybe he loved it, or maybe he didn't like it, or maybe he was having a bad day, or maybe he didn't, you know, like getting a different job assignment than he typically would that day. But regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the season, Bob was faithful, and it paid off big time. And we may never know how our life impacts someone else's. Maybe always just be faithful, farm a faithful. And I just want to share that. And that was just a real blessing. You know, and Pastor Richie shared it with the fellas just a week and a half ago during a prayer call. Bottom line, he's just saying, you know, just be faithful, guys. Just keep plowing, keep sowing, keep watering the seeds. Because you never know. You never know. But what we do know is God's word will not return void. Amen. Praise God. What a blessing. And so God uses a farmer in Scripture to picture, illustrate a faithful laborer a couple of reasons why. We can, of course, look at scripture from that. But the two that kind of jumped out at me, number one, because the farmer faithfully labors actually for months, the whole farming season, without a single grain of reward. And so it's all loaded on the tail end. And he gets pretty much nothing from plowing and getting the seeds in to the very end of the harvest. Then he gets his reward, his joyful harvest. But until then, it's nothing. Now, most of us, well, maybe most folks, we get paid every 2 weeks. Maybe some of us get paid every month. Some of us maybe get paid every week. And the idea that came to me was, what happens if you know, we're working a job and we don't get paid? Well, most of us would quit and do something else that paid. I mean, that's typically how we would work, right? You work a job and, hey, why is my employer kind of holding out on me? I need to get something else. And so that's typically what we would do. Well, the farmer doesn't have that luxury. He does everything for the harvest. It's harvest or bust, right? It's all in. He's all in. There's no other option. If there's no crop come harvest time, the farm is done. He's got no backup. I mean, that's all he's been doing. The harvest must bring the crops. All the farmer's hopes are in the harvest, right? That's all he's got. I believe this is how the Lord wants us, and when we labor for him. The example that he points to is of the husbandman. That means we are all in. We are all committed. There's no backup plan. There's no alternate thing. It's all in trust in the Lord. That's why the farmer, notice how the scripture says the fruit of the earth is what? Precious. Now, I get it. Obviously, our paycheck is precious to us as well. I get that. I mean, to supply the needs of our family, which is biblical, and then to give to others, I get that. But I put myself in the farmer's shoes. If I had to labor a whole, I don't know, half a year, 9 months, or whatever out of the year, to get that paycheck at the end of the harvest, man, that's precious. Versus every 2 weeks, and then it's still precious, but I want us to understand from the mindset of a farmer, if he doesn't get that, then he's got nothing. And when he gets it, hallelujah. Lord, thank you. Thank you. You are so faithful. You are so gracious. It's precious to him. It contains in that one harvest at the end, it sums up his entire labor for all the season. It's all there. And so it may seem like we are laboring sometimes day in and day out without anything to show for it. Perhaps we can feel that way. Don't quit. God calls us to be husbandmen. Again, a husbandman, yes, farmer, but more than a laborer. A husbandman is a cultivator of the ground, a nurturer of the crops to bring forth fruit. And so what the farmer does, he does out of genuine love and patience. You know, he's not just rough with the crops. I mean, he's tender to the crops. God will bring the rain. Scripture tells us the early and the latter rain, of course, at the start of the farming season, at the end of the farming season. It's a beautiful picture of the relation between God's grace and man's labors. Of course, it's God's grace. We don't want to take anything away from God, and we can't, and we shouldn't. But we labor faithfully as the husbandman does because he is believing in God's grace and mercy to bring the rain. And so when the rain comes, the expectation is that the farmer has already worked up to that point and plowed the field, sowed the seeds, and they're just waiting, arms open for the rain to fall, and then the crop will come, and then he'll get the harvest and praise God. And so it's not the other way around. It's not a show me, which state is a show me state? You know, is it Missouri? It's not just waiting to like, show me the rain, Lord. I'll check my almanac here. Okay, 2 months it's supposed to rain. All right, now it's worth my time to labor. You know what I'm saying? The husbandman doesn't do that. He just labors and trusts in God's mercy and grace and God's sovereignty to bring the rain. It's not the other way around. He doesn't just wait for God to show that he's going to bring the rain. Then he'll labor, okay? And so that's a wonderful picture of how we ought to be laboring for the Lord, where we're all in. If God doesn't want to bless us, we don't get blessed. And we ought to be, just be submissive and sufficiently satisfied with God's will. To God be the glory. That's the mindset of the farmer, of the husbandman. And number two, God also uses, I believe, the application. The farmer is a picture of a faithful laborer because the farmer faithfully labors throughout every season within his farming season, whether it's a lean season, whether it's a dry season, whether it's a sick season. Maybe he doesn't feel well. He's got some sick. Maybe it's a tired season. Season, not actual farming season, but seasons as in, you know, certain seasons in life, okay? The idea is, doesn't matter how his circumstances are, hook or by crook, he's got to get out there and he's got to labor, right? He can't miss that. It doesn't wait. It doesn't matter how the farmer feels. It doesn't matter what he wants. He still has to faithfully labor. In fact, you can probably make the case that the harsher the season is, the more he labors. In fact, not less, right? Right? Like if it's a drought season and the farmer says, well, I better double down on irrigation. I mean, so in fact, it's not less that they work. The more they work, if it's more dire of circumstance, more difficult seasons. Remember, the context of James, especially in chapter 5, it kind of hits it home here. The context of James, twofold. God is warning the unsaved in James chapter 5, who are typically wealthy and rich. Okay, that's the context here, but they are unsaved nonetheless. While God is also encouraging the believers, the saved, who in this case are often poor and persecuted. Okay, and so the unsaved are referenced in James chapter 5 as not just being wealthy, but wicked, self-will, doing their own thing. They oppress and persecute the saved. And so God is really warning them. The saved, on the other hand, were poor and typically powerless to resist the persecution of the wicked, right? If you go to verse 6, it's speaking condemnation to the unsaved who are wealthy and powerful. Probably in their mind, from their point of view, they think they've won. They think that they are better than the Christians who have got nothing. But look at verse 6. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. He doth not, and he cannot. I mean, so they're kind of really throwing their weight around there. And so the unsaved are very powerful, okay, and they're willing to do and able to do anything to the persecuted believers. It really appears that the unsaved have beaten the Christian, okay? They have everything they want. They can do whatever they want. Yet, God is warning the rich, the unsaved, wealthy, that judgment from God will come like a day of slaughter. In fact, if you go back to verse 5, ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. They can't escape this day. In fact, it is so severe, the forthcoming judgment from God on the unsaved, even though in their mind they have it all, okay, and they are on easy street. It is so severe that verse 1 of James 5 tells them to start weeping and howling now, even though the judgment is not yet coming, because you're not going to escape it, okay? I mean, that's how severe it is. Look at verse 1. Go to now, ye rich men. These are the unsaved, wicked, and wealthy. Weep and howl now for your miseries that shall come upon you later. But the idea is God's judgment and wrath is coming, and they cannot escape it. In the meantime, God's children, the saved, who are suffering and unable to withstand the hardships, and they are getting oppressed, God is encouraging them to hang in there. And then God uses the illustration of the husbandman. Yep. So they are suffering. They are not at the harvest season yet, but the illustration is just like the husbandman is laboring patiently with anticipation by faith to that joyful harvest. Christians, even though you're persecuted, even though things are really, really tough, and God knows it's hard for us to wait when we are actively in pain or suffering, he says, hang in there, and he uses the example of the husbandman. Waited for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. So the harvest will come. In fact, we are God's harvest, and he'll rapture us out of here. But again, the idea that God will provide the rain for the fruit of our labors. And then verse 8, just like the husbandman, and we all know farmers work hard, and just like that, verse 8, be ye also patient. So a physical example to apply spiritually. Be ye also patient, patient meaning to persevere. Establish your hearts. And so it starts with a heart saying, no, it's okay. Things are looking really grim right now. I might feel like I'm spinning my wheels and I'm going day in, day out. I go out to the harvest field. I try my best to do what I ought to do. but I don't see any yield. I don't see any increase. I don't see this. I don't see that. I don't see any fruit. Hang in there. God, by faith, we believe that he will bring the rain. He'll bring the harvest. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts. Why? For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And this was 2,000 years ago. It was nigh then. It's nigher now. Even closer. Okay, but you get the idea. Keep on keeping on. Stay on the firing line. We might not never know till we get to glory. Just the effects of the life that we live, how it might impact others. But God wants us to stay faithful for him. Keep plowing, keep planting, keep watering, keep caring for the crops. The harvest is coming. Be faithful. Be farmer faithful. Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what a challenge, Lord. What an encouragement, Lord, just to keep on sowing the seed. Lord, and it's in your hands, Lord. Help us just to be a sower that goes forth to sow. And that you take care of where the seed lands, that we would labor, that we would not get weary in well-doing, but that you give the increase. But for you to give the increase, we must labor. Help us, Lord, to be encouraged by the word as a husbandman. Lord, looks forward to that joyful harvest, Lord, and help us to be all in. Help us not to have a backup plan, Lord. Help us to serve only you. And Father, I thank you for the testimony of Pastor Rich. What a blessing, Lord, and for Brother Bob. What a joy that he, in all these years, he never knew what was going on from that, came forth from that one encounter with Rich. And so, Father, we love you. You're so amazing. Lord, we look forward truly, Father, for the time that we would stand before you. That Lord, I really am curious, interested in how I've done to serve you, but how things have turned out in the lives of those that we've interacted with. And so, Father, we pray that all will be done for your glory. Help us to not be weary in well doing, and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.